Amen. Thanks, guys. Amen. Let's just, yeah, appreciate the worship team. Thank you, guys, for being faithful and for leading us to God's presence. Thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. Keep an eye on the time. I just want to thank God, really, for choosing me to be saved. There's a scripture in John chapter 6 somewhere, one of the verses. It talks about that it's God, it was God's will that Jesus should save us, and that when he saves us, he wouldn't lose any of us, so none of us would lose our salvation, basically. And it's such a privilege when you think about that truth, that God actually destined before the world began for you by name to be saved. And it was Jesus' mission, part of his mission in coming to earth, that he would save you and never ever lose you. So I'm really grateful for what Jesus has done. I'm really grateful that he chose to save me. Many in my family, lots of my friends that haven't been graced yet to know him, but we're a part of that body of believers. So I just want to thank you, Lord, for that. Also want to thank Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky in their absence. As we know, Sister Vicky's just gone through an operation successfully. Praise God. Praise God. God is faithful. We weren't expecting anything less, really. So God is faithful to his word, and he's faithful to the work that he's doing in her life. So we know it's not finished yet. So yeah, I'm really, really grateful for that. I want to thank them for the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Kevin, wherever you are, for giving me this opportunity to speak, and all the leadership, everybody. I want to thank you all. Okay, so this evening, we are going to be looking at worship, with it being Praise and Worship Month. I'm not going to be up here for long. I'm going to be passing it on to Richard. Oh yeah, thank God for my husband, Richard. Thank God for his life, honestly. Day by day, I learn more how much I'm grateful for him, man. And, gosh, God knows, grateful for his life. A serious man of God. And yeah, I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for him, so thank you very much. So we're going to be looking at Praise and Worship. It is Praise and Worship Month, amen? It's Praise and Worship Month, amen? Amen. Right, so we're going to be looking at worshipping in spirit and in truth, particularly focusing on worshipping in truth. So if you've got your Bibles, which I hope you do, whether it's electronically or whatever, let's turn to John chapter 4, and we're going to be focusing on verse 21 to about 24. So the Gospel of John, chapter 4, well-known scripture, we're referring to praise and worship. And we're going to be going from verse 21. Give me a little feedback when you're there. So I've got some whoop-whoops. Got some years. What about this side? Amen. Okay, let's give a hearty amen when you're there.
Amen.
Okay, I'm seeing some middle rows, not quite there. Hearty amen from the middle rows. Amen. I'm watching for your mouse, you know. I'm watching to see if you're there. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter 4, verse 21. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and then we'll go into this. It says, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem." Verse 22, "You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation is of the Jews." Verse 23, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for people who will worship him that way." And I just want us to look at verse 22 in particular. In the NLT it says, "You Samaritans know very little." You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation is of the Jews. And so the main question that I want to pose to everybody this evening is, how well do you know him? So I just want you to repeat it again. So how well do I know him? How well do I know him? Say it again. How well do I know him? And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. We're going to be looking at how well do we know God? Because it talks about the Samaritans kind of versus the Jews, and the Samaritan woman's in this kind of theological debate, if it were, with Jesus about, well, you know, we worship at this mountain. Are you greater than Jacob? You know, they tell us, you know, we worship here at this mountain, but you Jews say we have to worship in Jerusalem. What's going on there? And then Jesus is trying to home in the point, look, I know you're worshiping, but you don't really know who or what you're worshiping. And it is sad to say that a lot of the times with churchianity, we can get caught up in the religious side of it, you know. Okay, praise is a fast song, excited, let's make noise, woo! Worship is a slow song, let's put our hands up and cry a little bit if we can. Oh, it's broken. And we can get a bit caught up in the formality of things. Am I being real? Yeah? So we can get a bit caught up in the formality. And Jesus is, I think the Samaritan woman was a lot like the churchianity of today, really. She was caught up in the formality of what worship was. And she wasn't really in depth knowing who she was worshiping, knowing why she was worshiping. And there is a real need for us to know who we're worshiping and why we're worshiping him, why we're worshiping him. So the Bible talks about worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. So how do we worship in truth? If you flick over a couple of chapters in the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, verse 32, another really well-known scripture. And if anybody's there, they can say it with a nice clear voice. John chapter 8, verse 32. Anybody that's there can read it out. You want to just say it again one more time, please, Pastor Damien? Okay, amen. So we've got those two words again. So our two key words are know and truth. And we've just seen another reference here in John chapter 8, verse 32, where it talks about knowing and truth. So it says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we can see that there's a relationship between knowing and truth. So what I thought God was laying on my heart was, in order for us to really worship in truth, we've got to know him. So I decided, you know, researching and doing what I like doing, to look up the definition of knowing. And these are some of the definitions that I came across. So definitions of knowing: learn, come to know, feel, become known, to understand, to perceive, to find, or to experience. Because another version of John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and that experience of the truth will set you free. So when we're talking about knowing God and worshiping him in truth, it's not just about knowing him intellectually in our minds, knowing what the Bible says about him. It's about actually encountering him regularly. It's about experiencing the God that we sing about, the God that we say we're living for, the God that we are aiming to worship, if that's our heart's desire, amen? So it is about knowing him truly, learning him, coming to know him, feeling him, becoming known by him, understanding him, perceiving him, and finding him. And even in one of the definitions, it's actually affiliated between the relationship between a husband and a wife, like that knowing, that deep, intimate knowing. So I'm going to ask the question again, bearing in mind what knowing means, how well do we really know God? Are we worshiping him in truth? Are we really worshiping him in truth? And it's about knowing why we worship and who we worship. Verse 22 of John chapter 4, it says, you know very little about the one you worship. He's talking about the Samaritans. And we Jews, we know all about him. So the Jews, they had a knowledge of knowing God. They knew how to worship him. And even Jesus says, you know, us Jews, we know how to worship in a sense because we know all about him. But God has gone past that. He doesn't even want us to know about him anymore. He wants us to know him through genuine relationship. And so in this knowing, it's not about the format anymore. It's not about whether we're coming to the mountain or going to Jerusalem. It's not about whether people can see us or whether they can't. It's not about whether we know the words to songs. It's not even about songs. It's not about how, don't get hung up on this. It's a trip. It's not about how long you pray for, what time you pray. It's not about how long you can go for a fast. It's not about any of that. In knowing God, it is about genuine relationship. He ain't concerned about the format. He says to her, look, the time's coming. It's here now when those things don't even matter. God the Father is looking for people who know him, who are taking that time out to experience him, to search for him, to find him, and to be known by him as well. Because if you want to know God, it's not like you're just searching for him and searching for him and searching for him and never ever going to find him. One of the definitions of knowing is allowing him to know you. So it's got to be that two-way connection. So like I said, it's not about how we pray. It's not about how we worship in public. It's not about how we come across. It's about that hidden person of our heart. How's our hearts at the moment? Are we taking that time out to really, really get to know God? Sometimes, especially when you're in ministry, or you've been saved for a while, you've been kind of doing what you're doing, or you have a routine, you can get up in the morning, maybe it's 7 in the morning, maybe it's 6 in the morning, get to your prayer closet. So I shouldn't put it in quotes, but you know what I mean. Get to your prayer closet. Okay, maybe you've got the cup of coffee right there. Hallelujah. Yes, I worship you, I worship you. Lord, I love you, I love you. Yes, I praise you, I praise you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to read my psalm and my proverbs today. Hallelujah. Yes, okay. Right, 60 minutes. Okay, let me go take the kids to school. Let me go do this, let me go do that. And it can just become really, really, like that can be part of the format. That can be, in our day and age, what the Samaritan woman was referring to as the mountain. And, you know, the Jews are referring to as Jerusalem. It's a format. And not saying that we shouldn't have a format. Obviously, we need consistency. We need something that we're going to follow. But if that becomes our rock, rather than genuinely connecting with God in that moment, like I can speak from experience. Like, I used to get so bent out of shape if I woke up late. I feel like, oh my God, oh my days, I'm so unrighteous. Lord, I have to pray in the evening now. I have to live the whole day without actually praying and seeking your face. Oh God, I'll get bent out of shape, man. Richard can testify. Like, I would actually just be like, oh my gosh, such a bad believer. I just want to know you. And then I remember Richard used to say to me, God's not God of the morning, you know. Like, he's God of 24 hours. Like, obviously and praise the Lord, I'm learning to get up early and seek God in the morning because during the rest of the day, it's just so manic. But in that, if you make that 6:30 prayer time your God and you're not really connecting, you're not really experiencing, you're not allowing yourself to be known by him in that, that's a format. That's not true worship. If it is that, you know, all right, you may be fast on a certain day, but your mind's all over the place. You're not getting that time to really plug in and get to know your God, because these are all forms of worship. Worship isn't the 20-minute slot or the half an hour slot we have on a Wednesday or a Sunday. Amen? Praise the Lord. I hope you all know that. Just in case you didn't, it's on the CD now. Worship is not praise and worship set, singing Chi Chi on drums, Jemima on keys, Sonia leading. Yeah? Praise and worship is our life. It is our dedication. It's our devotion to God. So what's our format? What are we relying on in order to you know, feel like, okay, yes, I've worshipped God. If it's our giving, even our giving can be a format. If you are not connecting with God in that moment of giving, is it worship? No, it's not what God sees as true worship. Everything, God is looking at our hearts. Everything. And just to finally come down, in verse 14 of John chapter 4, so just to jump back from where we've been reading, verse 14 of John chapter 4, it says, but whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him, so this is Jesus talking, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now let me just ask a question. How many of us believe that the word of God is undeniably true? Hands up. Let's see. Sorry, I'm a bit of a teacher sometimes. So let's all see. If we believe that the word of God is undeniably, cannot be contested true. Yeah? Okay, most of us. Some of us, Lord will help our unbelief in Jesus' name. Yeah? So it says in verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. Right. Hands up if we as believers have thirsted. That's my hand, sky high. Hands up, as it says in verse 14. If we've thirsted and it feels like we've become a bit dry. Yeah. Can I get a witness? Well, that there's a bit of a contradiction. There's a bit of a contradiction there. And what I know God was saying to me is that in these times, there's been a blockage. There's been a format that you've become reliant upon. Not saying that you're backslidden. Not saying that you want to follow after God, but there's been some kind of format that's gotten in the way of my everlasting life bubbling up in you. Because that's what happens. Religion dries us out. Religion dries us out. If you're feeling dry, ask God to reveal to you where you're being religious, because I guarantee you there's going to be a place where it's a bit like, maybe I'm relying on format rather than relationship. Jesus' word, he says, whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never thirst, but the water I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So I just encourage you, take it an honor and a privilege. Grab it by the horns, if you want to call it that. Every opportunity you get to speak to God, because it's not just our desire to seek him. He desires to know us even more than we could ever desire to seek him. Every time we call on him in sincerity and truth, Psalms 145, verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to those who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Every single moment you call on your God in truth, he's near to you. And he promises that he will give you everlasting life, bubbling up inside of you like a well. So maybe you have become caught up in the format. Maybe you have become a bit thirsty, a bit weary. Maybe you have been a bit lacking on that living water. God has given us that opportunity to get to know. And let's remember what that know means: to experience, to know him, to perceive him, to understand him, to be known by him. Amen. Just going to welcome Rich up as I pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that it never returns to you void. I want to thank you that you want to know us even more than we want to know you, Lord God. That you genuinely want to deeply know us, Lord God. And out of that knowing, we will worship you in truth, Lord God. You're still searching for us, Lord God. You're still searching for people that will worship you that way. And I pray that you would change our hearts, Lord God, out of every format, out of every form of religion. Show us where it is, Lord God, so that we can repent and so that we can be the worshippers that you're so desiring to know. so desiring to have, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you love us. We thank you that you've called us. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're near to us when we call on your name, when we call on your name in truth. So just have your way for the rest of this service, in Jesus' name.